There are similarities and differences between ethical rules and rules of policy when it comes to human subjects research. Benjamin Sachs is an assistant professor in environmental studies and bioethics at New York University. He wrote an article entitled "The Case for Evidence-Based Rulemaking in Human Subjects Research" in the June 2010 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics. Benjamin, what major points were you hoping to make with this article?
Well, I'm trying to, as you said, distinguish between ethical rules and rules of policy, and then show why that distinction is important in the arena of medical research. So there are certain things that one simply ought not do as a matter of ethics, like lie, steal, assault, these kinds of things. And then there are other things that one ought not to do, not as a matter of ethics, but because there's a legitimate policy in place that says that one ought not to do it. Like if you live in a state where you're not supposed to go over 65 miles an hour on the highways, then that would be then driving over that speed limit would be that kind of wrongdoing. So there are these canonical rules in human subjects research that are found in the Nuremberg Code and the Declaration of Helsinki, these very well respected canonical documents. And I think it's important to know whether the rules that we find in there are ethical rules that give us ethical obligations, or policy rules give us sort of policy obligations. And this is a question that's been completely ignored, and I think that's dangerous, because making this distinction and asking this question shows us, to a large extent, how these rules would have to be defended in order to validate them. An ethical rule, to defend that kind of rule, one simply needs to show that it accurately reflects the ethical fact of the matter. On the other hand, a policy rule, to defend that, one needs to show that it serves a purpose, because policies are in place for some purpose or other. And so if the rules are supposed to be policies, then we need to know what our policy objective is, and we need to do empirical research to figure out whether the rules that we've put forward actually do a good job of promoting those policy objectives. And that kind of investigation has never been undertaken with respect to any of the rules.
You share some examples where there appears to be some tension between ethical rules and rules of policy, one involving a law mandating speed limits at 55 miles per hour.
Well, actually, I think that the example of the speed limit is a crystal clear example of a policy rule. It's definitely not an ethical rule, and it's actually a case where ethics and policy, and where good ethics and good policy, basically converge. I mean, I don't think that there's sort of an independent ethical obligation to drive under 55 miles an hour, but we certainly have ethical reasons to do so. It's better for the environment, it's safer. It just so happens that there's also a policy in place, at least in many jurisdictions, that requires it. But despite the fact that there are ethical reasons favoring a 55 on our speed limit, it's not actually obligatory until some legitimate authority, like a legislature, makes a policy that requires it. So actually the speed limit example was supposed to be a crystal clear, uncontroversial case of a policy rule as opposed to an ethical rule.
Ethical rules and rules of policy do not necessarily need to be in conflict, do they?
I think that that's correct. As a matter of fact, if we think that there's something unethical going on in human subjects, we can actually take a two-pronged approach to it. We can say this is wrong. We can say there already is an ethical rule prohibiting this. And we can also, in addition, create a policy that prohibits it. So we can make, if we craft our policies in the right way, we can make ethics and policy converge. For instance, I think the informed consent rule is, I think it's unethical to enroll somebody in a study without their consent, at least in normal circumstances. And we also have a policy that says people aren't allowed to do that. So no, there doesn't have to be a conflict. But the point I'm making is that sometimes there's no good there's no sort of matter of ethics involved. It's just a question of policy. So one example that I have in my paper is a rule that you find in the Declaration of Helsinki called the post-trial access rule. And what this rule requires is that subjects who are enrolled in a study are entitled to have bestowed on them any benefit that comes out of, for instance, some sort of therapy that's identified as beneficial. Now, I argue that there's no ethical basis for this. It's not ethically obligatory to do such a thing for subjects. Nevertheless, it might make policy, but I also argue that we don't know whether it makes good policy because we really don't know what the effects of the rule are.
How does this tension, in your view, then, create some problems or missed opportunities?
The number one problem is that the more rules that we impose on the medical research endeavor, the more time-consuming and resource-consuming medical research becomes. And that means that it takes longer for new therapies to reach the market. And, of course, the implications of that for our health are obvious. And the thing about that bad outcome is that it's a hidden bad outcome. It's the outcome of missing out on something we know not what, right? We don't know what we've missed out on because of these extra regulations. But surely it's something. And so that's why it's so important to take a close look at these regulations to see whether they're serving a policy objective that we think is important.
You argue that we should take a policy-oriented approach to human subjects research rulemaking. Explain briefly.
So the policy-oriented approach is the approach that you're forced to take up once you acknowledge, as I think we should acknowledge, that most of the rules that are in place have no ethical basis. So once you've cleared ethics out of the way, then you have two tasks. First, you have to enunciate a policy objective. You have to say, why are we making any rules at all? Why does this need to be a regulated endeavor? And the answer I offer is a vague one, but one I think that most everybody would agree on, which is that we want to make rules in the arena of human subjects research to promote the good of the people who are affected by it, the future patients, you know, you and I, everybody who will get sick in the future, the medical researchers themselves, etc. So that's job number one. Job number two is let's look at the rules we have and the rules we might have and try to figure out whether putting them in place would actually serve that policy objective. If they would, we should keep the rule in place. If they wouldn't, we should either discard the rule or tweak it until we got it just right.
You note a long-standing legal theory that hard cases make bad law and that this applies to human subject research rulemaking as well.
It used to be that there wasn't a very extensive set of regulations or rules governing the medical research arena, but there is now. Over the last 35 years, the list of rules has gotten much, much longer. And that is in spurts, and every spurt is, if you can look to what happened a couple years before it, and you'll find some sort of moral outrage that prompted it. So the classic example of this is the Tuskegee study. So while it's, of course, important to use, and as tragic as it was, as horrible as it was, right, we want to use the Tuskegee study and other outrageous, unethical studies to figure out where we went wrong and what we can do to prevent it again. But I think we've gone overboard. We've over-regulated, and what we've ended up with is a whole handful of rules that really have nothing to do with preventing the next Tuskegee. And so these hard cases are forcing us into bad decisions, I think.
Benjamin Sachs is an assistant professor in environmental studies and bioethics at New York University. His article, The Case for Evidence-Based Rulemaking in Human Subjects Research, appears in the June 2010 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics. For more information, visit bioethics.net. That's bioethics.net. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.